When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
You're listening to the Auburn Express. Powered by
the World of Pool.
All aboard the AM departure from platform 334, the Auburn Express. We're running on time and expecting no hiccups. Doing the work, hard work, to bring you the best Auburn sports content you'll find anywhere.
One of the big topics we want to talk about is Auburn's wide receiver room. This has been a very maligned group over the past few seasons. And we want to kind of just give a rundown. And what I'm going to do, my G, is I'm going to list the receivers. And I want you to give kind of a breakdown, an overview of what this spring was like for each guy. And from there, we'll kind of talk about what we think these guys will fall in terms of the pecking order going into fall camp. So without further ado, here are the guys in our wide receiver room who are scholarship only. We're only listing scholarship receivers, okay? They are as follows. Robert, the guys on the left-hand side are the newcomers. The returning receivers are just on the right, just four receivers returning from last season. Robert Lewis on the left-hand side, Bryce Kane, Sam Jackson, Cam Coleman, Perry Thompson, Malcolm Simmons. You see them in parentheses this summer. They will be enrolling in the summer. On the right-hand side, you have Jay Fair, Coy Moore, Caleb Burton, and Camden Brown, who all suited up in the 2023 season, who were here during spring camp. My G, you want to give an overview just based on your intel about how this spring went for each of the guys listed on, starting with the left-hand side. Let's start with the left-hand side.
Look, you had some newcomers there, right? Obviously, Robert Lewis and Sam Jackson were transfers in. The other four guys in this room were recruited straight out of high school. So Bryce Kane and Cam Coleman made it for the spring semester as freshmen. You know, it's funny, after A-Day, Cam took a shower and went to his prom that night. So, listen, he's brand new, but he had to go to prom later that night.
He deserved it.
Yeah, he did. Like, I hope he won prom king. If he didn't win prom king, that's you know, stop the count. But look, on A-Day, we saw everybody, obviously, but Perry Thompson and Malcolm Simmons, right? All these guys went out there and at least took, ran a play. It felt like Robert Lewis and Cam Coleman were the most featured here. Obviously, Cam Coleman had a huge A-Day, just lived up to every little bit of the hype. We heard early in spring about him maybe swimming a little bit, but what he proved is he's a guy that you can just put out there and he's going to go make a play for you. So when you are that kind of talent, you can overcome maybe what you don't know about system and routes and things and just go out there and make a play for your quarterback. And that's what Hugh Freeze wanted. He wants a guy with a good catch radius. I think we saw him make almost every kind of catch you can make here on Saturday at A-Day. And you know, Cam Coleman has obviously lived the hype, so we won't spend a lot of time there. I think a lot of the debate is going to come between Sam Jackson and the others. Now, Robert Lewis played on the outside as well, too. Caesar, he looked fast. Yeah. From all accounts, we heard he had a great spring camp. So Robert Lewis, that guy that, you know, came in from a Georgia State, an experienced guy, you know, hasn't played at the Power Five level, but it looks like his skill set may actually translate here. So we'll see how he continues to develop. Bryce Kane is a super talented kid. Obviously, one of the freeze four that came in here, but didn't catch a pass on A-Day. And there were a lot of other outlets hyping Bryce Kane. And I'm telling you, while he's super talented, here at the War Report, we weren't getting a lot about him killing it during camp. I think, again, you know, we got measure expectations for the freshman. Bryce Kane is going to be a difference maker down the road for Auburn. Will he be a difference maker in 2024? I don't think so. I think you saw a microcosm of that on Saturday, right? Like I said, he didn't catch a pass there. And then Sam Jackson, the super athletic former teammate of high school teammate of Peyton Thorne. He started at the slot. And when I get to the other side, we'll explain that. He wore a non-contact jersey on Saturday, but Sam had two catches on Saturday playing from the slot. And, you know, look, he's an athletic guy. Is he a natural wide receiver? In my opinion, no. But based on what happened on the right side of this list, you know, he had an opportunity to go out there and show what he can do. So that's pretty much it. Perry Thompson and Malcolm Simmons get here this summer. And later in the show, we're going to rank these guys and where we feel like they'll be at going into the fall. But I expect that Perry Thompson will be a difference maker in this room, depending on how other things flesh out. Now on the right side, you got Jay Fair, probably your best returning receiver. Look, man, last year they were graphics. Jay Fair is electric. The passing game just didn't go well last year. And I think that a lot of people felt like, you know, well, he didn't perform. But listen, man, the passing game was a mess. Quarterback was a mess. The quarterback carousel was a mess. You had the fewest attempts, targets. Like, Auburn did not have a wide receiver season in the top 25 in the conference in targets. There were just not a lot of opportunities for these guys to catch the ball. So people were hyper-focused on the plays that they didn't make because there weren't a ton of plays out there for them to make, period. They dropped the ball at about an average rate for receivers in the SEC. Just stood out because, you know, you were throwing the ball always on critical downs, right? Third and long. You know, when you just had to have it, you know, that's when you saw Auburn's wide receivers. So Jay Fair, obviously a slot guy. Coy Moore, just injuries. Injuries have held him back. So he's had a very, very slow spring, an experienced guy, but he's had a slow spring. I think he was dealing, Caesar, with a concussion at some point during spring camp. And, you know, obviously last year he had well-documented injury issues. Caleb Burton. Now, Hugh Freeze said that Caleb was dealing with some injuries. We saw flashes of his talent. I believe a former five-star wide receiver that committed to Ohio State, you know, ended up coming into Auburn. He's got obvious talent.
I think he was a four-star.
Yeah. Four-star. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, he's talented. He caught a really, really nice ball from Hank Brown against Maryland in the bowl game. And, you know, he's got speed and he's got hands. You know, he's kind of a tweener. Ike has talked about this, about, like, you know, do you put him at the slot? Do you put him on the outside? You know, probably a better slot guy than an outside guy. But, you know, he's had somewhat of an auspicious spring camp as well. And then you got Camden Brown, who, of the four here on the right, I feel like proved the most this spring. Now, he had a lot to prove coming out of last season, but he looked good. And, you know, honestly, he looked like what we heard last spring.
Right.
Ton of talent. You know, the receivers struggled to make separation. But I want to say, like, I just think a lot of that system stuff over it made a lot of the issues that people had with the wide receivers overblown. This was a bad system that they were playing in last year. You know, Hugh Freeze has to own that. Like, you hired Philip Montgomery. You brought him in here, and then y'all weren't on the same page, and everybody threw the talent under the bus for what they couldn't get together. I think Camden Brown was one of those guys who suffered from that lack of direction on offense that Auburn had.
I think a lot of the receivers in that room suffered from that.
Yeah.
He had opportunities to account for it. And again, to your point that you made, you had received when you don't have a lot of opportunities, it magnifies your drops and mistakes that you do make. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, 100%. Look, man, he showed out this spring. Now, he was also dealing with some injuries. Everybody on the right side here was reported to have been dealing with some injuries and missed some practices and some time during spring ball. which opened up the door for some of the guys on the left to get some more reps. And, you know, if you're Jay Fair, you're not really evaluating Jay. You know what you have in him at this point. You know, Camden, you're maybe just seeing if you're evaluating him mentally to see if he can get out of his own head, but physically you know what he can do, right? Coy, again, we'll talk about where, you know, we feel like these guys are at when we get to the ranking part. And then Caleb, again, we saw what he could do. There's less evaluation going on the right side of this list than there is on the left side of this list. So that's it. This is all Auburn has on scholarship, guys. 10 scholarship wide receivers right now, and this includes the guys who are coming in. That's not a lot. That's not a lot. So if you got anybody leave this room, you're going to have some, I think, some depth issues. So they may have to go to the portal to pick up a couple guys just for depth purposes. Now, maybe there's a guy who is like, you know, yeah, Dylan Gentry, who's a preferred walk-on, who maybe you promote. If there's nobody appealing in the portal, there were some other guys who caught balls at 8A that, you know, played at receiver, but, you know, aren't technically on scholarship. We'll see how Hugh Freeze decides to manage it.
It's hard to imagine giving a scholarship to a preferred walk-on who's a freshman, true freshman, unless they've just been amazing up to this point. So I anticipate Hugh Freeze going to the portal for sure and getting probably, two receivers at the least. But again, that's always tricky because we saw how that worked last year when Hugh Freeze went to the portal to get receivers in this portal window. Even in the first portal window, as Ike alluded to, we didn't exactly strike gold in some aspects as well. So it's risky. So we'll see. So we listed the wide receivers.
We did.
We're going to rank them 10 all the way going down to 1 in terms of their contribution, or not necessarily contribution, but the pecking order going into fall camp. We want to see here from you guys as well who you think in terms of 10, ranking the guys who we have listed. Again, I'll put the list up again so you can see them. We want to hear from you in the comments section. Who's 10 all the way down to 1? We want to hear from you guys. Definitely want to check out your comments. Mike, you ready?
I, sir, am ready. I was born ready, Caesar. Born ready.
I can tell. I can tell. Let's do it then. Here we go. 10 through 6 in terms of who we think. And I guess we can start at. Let's start at 10. You got Coy Moore here. Talk to me why you think Coy Moore in terms of are you insinuating something here, Mike G?
Yeah, I think Coy Moore maybe probably most likely to transfer after spring. And, you know, if he wants to play, I think it's pretty clear who they brought in that, you know, he's not going to get time on the field here. He's just, you know, it's, you know, he's had a couple years to do his thing. You know, a guy who things just didn't come, it just didn't work out for him, Caesar, you know, with injuries and, you know, with the talent that they brought in, this coach has proven that he's going to invest heavily in the guys that he's brought in. And, you know, Coy's not one of those guys. You know, Coy is a great student athlete. From what we understand, he's a good person. You know, we sat down with him. We've talked to him. He's a kid that does, you know, everything that you ask of him. And can't say enough about his character and who he is as a person. But, you know, writing's on the wall, I think, in terms of whether he's going to be able to achieve anything athletically here at Auburn. So I've got Coy Moore at number 10. I think you agree with me here, putting Coy down there.
Yeah, I actually have him at 10 as well.
Yep.
Number 9 is Malcolm Simmons. Talk to me why you got Malcolm at 9.
Okay, another one of those super talented freshmen. However, coming in after the spring, similar to Bryce Kane, who is also very talented, part of the Freeze Four. We say Freeze Four, but really, they brought in our guy, Dylan Gentry. This is a Freeze Five. You know, and if Dylan had a scholarship, he'd be up here at number 2, as far as I'm concerned. That's how much swag he's got.
Okay. All
you know right. what I'm saying? Okay. No, you don't know what I'm saying? Okay, no. All right. I'll move on. Malcolm Simmons, you know, again, I think that he will be a guy that they look to for the future. He'll help make this team better in other ways in his first year. You know, having super talented receivers to run on scout team is an underrated part of having a good football team, right? You get to go good on good all the time. And I think that that's great. Look, Malcolm Simmons is going to get here this summer. He's going to work out. Do I expect him to play a role come fall? I don't. I don't. I think he's another one of those guys you give a year to get acclimated to the system, and then you put him out there and you see what he can do.
Okay. I actually have Malcolm Simmons in my personal list. I have him higher than nine.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
I actually believe Ike about Caleb Burton. I did a list earlier this week in terms of guys he thinks, and I actually can kind of see Caleb Burton hitting the portal. So I actually have him down at nine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in terms of pecking order, I'm putting the guys that I think who actually may be gone.
Like at the bottom, bottom. At yeah. The bottom, okay. Bottom.
Right.
Look, that's
you
fair.
You can't really compete for a job if you ain't here.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that. I actually am with Ike on the Caleb Burton made transfer thing. There are some circumstances that might keep him here, so I was in between on this one. But look, man, Caleb, obviously jumping up to number eight is a talented kid, right? And, you know, just kind of waiting on his right situation. We saw flashes of that talent last year. Will he get a chance to show it here at Auburn? I'm not sure. Like, the pressure is on with these new kids that are coming in. Commitments are being made to these guys when they commit. And look, man, similarly to how we see Thorne has gotten every single opportunity to prove that he is or isn't the quarterback for Auburn next year, I think a lot of these receivers are going to get that same opportunity. So the leash will be shorter for the incumbents. And, you know, for the kids coming in, you're going to see a lot of opportunity extended to them, you know, and that's just how I'm feeling about it. So that's why Caleb Burton is so low on this list. You know, I know that some guys may, you know, a lot of people were high on him going into the offseason. This is not a reflection of whether we feel these guys have talent, and I can't stress that enough, right? This is the totality of where they're at. You know, how we expect Auburn to use receivers next year and where they fit into that plan.
And the reality of the matter is that for Caleb Burton, you gotta remember where he left, Mike. He left Ohio State. So obviously this kid believes he needs to be on the field, right?
Right.
So based on where you currently are, injuries and whatnot slowing you down, you probably feel like, you know what, I should be seeing the field at this point if Ohio State was recruiting me out of high school. So that could be another potential reason that he may enter the portal. So we'll just see. We don't know for sure what these guys are going to do, but this is just a hunch. But you got Malcolm at nine. I got Caleb at nine. So that's kind of where we are. So you got Caleb at eight. So let's go to pretty much I flip-flop those guys. So that's the difference there. So we can move on to seven. Bryce Kane is seven.
Yeah, look, depending on who you listen to, Bryce Kane was Superman this spring. And this kid has a ton of talent. He's fast. Caesar, Bryce Kane is fast. And he's got moves. Didn't catch a pass on A-Day, but he'll have a role in this offense down the future. The reason I got him down here at number seven is I just don't suspect it'll be this year. I don't. Auburn may end up running a ton of 12 personnel, and they're probably going to play Bryce Kane out of the slot, which means slot receiver like reps are going to be limited. He was another one of these young freshmen that was swimming a little bit this spring, trying to pick everything up. And I believe in his talent and his upside, but, you know, Freeze is building this thing for the long run. And I think that he won't be in a hurry to throw a kid like Bryce Kane out there. Like, now, listen, injuries and other things could change all this. But as of right now, if everybody stays healthy, I think Bryce Kane is a guy who's a year away from being, you know, an SEC starter.
Okay. But again, he's a freshman, so he's pretty much just going to have to, take his lumps as a youngin and work his way up, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Sam Jackson.
All right. Sam Jackson. Okay. Look, super athletic guy, former Cal quarterback. Look, man, he can move. If you can ball, you can just ball, right? I think Sam Jackson is one of those guys who can just ball. Put him out there, let him make plays. We've heard Peyton Thorne talk about how big his hands are, which, you know, again, may help him secure the football, or things that are thrown at him. But he projects as a slot guy.
Yeah.
Right? For sure. So somebody who has not played a ton of receiver at the Power 5 level, what I suspect is you'll see Sam Jackson, kind of a backup slot guy going into the season. Right now, he had a non-contact jersey on during A Day. Oddly enough, they like tackled him.
Yeah, I saw that play. I was like, that was wild.
Yeah, he got tackled. He had a yellow non-contact jersey on, but got tackled during A Day. I thought it was funny. He popped right up like the G he is, Sam Jackson, the G. I'm tired of you, snakes. So, look, Sam Jackson, they felt like maybe had an opportunity to come in as a guy who had utility. If you had to recruit him, in the recruiting process, you're not sure a guy fits, but he's got a bunch of, athletic gifts. They just label him athlete. I think that's what Sam Jackson is. I think he's just an athlete. Now, is there a role for him at wide receiver? That will be largely determined by how well the guys on the top half of this list fare. So Sam Jackson may very well get an opportunity to prove that he can be a receiver at this level. And it may not take a lot for him to get there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the top five then, since we're here already. Drum roll. Here's five through one through five. Here it is. So you got Perry Thompson, who's not on campus yet. We got Perry Thompson at five. And again, we want to stress, because we see some people saying this person is not top five or this person is da 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 da. We're talking pecking order, right? And Mike, you mentioned something to me off camera I'm assuming you can share this. If players were injured in the spring and they missed a lot of reps or they missed significant amounts of practice, it meant that they were automatically demoted to the second string.
Yeah.
So nothing to do with their talent or abilities as much as it is the coaches haven't seen them get enough significant snaps to evaluate them to determine if they are the better receiver. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah. Listen, you get hurt, the other guy gets promoted, and they start taking reps. You get in the flow, and they continue on with that. You don't automatically always slot right back in after you come back from injury. And so we talked about the scholarship guys, Fair, Moore, Camden Brown, Caleb Burton. Hugh Freeze said all these guys are dealing with injuries at some point during the spring. Coy, it was like concussions. Jay Fair had a hamstring thing that he was dealing with. So you don't rush him back. You're not evaluating whether Jay Fair can play football or not. You know what he can do. You just give him time to get healthy, and then you get the reps to the other guys because they need it more than Jay does. Mm. Right? You know what he can do. You'd rather see what you have in Sam Jackson right now, if you ask me.
Right.
Because evaluating who might come behind Jay is really, really important. If you follow the script of last year, Jay, again, dealt with some nagging injuries and there were some things there. And when guys get hurt, you need to know who's backing them up. That's it. That's what the spring is for. So a lot of people bought too much into the rotations that they saw in A Day when the truth is these super experienced guys, we said this about Peyton Thorne. We're like, I mean, how much do you really need to evaluate Peyton Thorne here in the spring? Or do you know what you have with them and you spend more time on Hank Brown and Holden Gurner and Walker White?
Yeah.
Especially if the coach has already decided he's going to be in first position going into the fall, I'd want to know what I have behind Peyton Moore if I'm in his position.
So who do you think, let's just go ahead and mix it in. Who do you think is a serious contender to start opposite of Cam Coleman? Now, what we saw in spring camp was a lot of 12 personnel, which meant you had two receivers on the field.
Right? Two receivers, two tight ends, one running back.
So when you have a 12 personnel with two wide receivers, we saw Robert Lewis line up as the opposite receiver, even though in my personal opinion, I see this guy actually playing more in the slot. But what are your thoughts with that?
The staff is leaning toward putting Robert Lewis on the outside. Ooh. And that's we saw A-Day, right? Like, they're going to play Robert Lewis on the outside. And, you know, I think it will be a battle between him and Cam Brown for who takes that, you know, slot opposite Cam Coleman. But if it's not painfully clear to everybody at this point, Cam Coleman is going to start game one.
Right.
Right. Like, right. He's going to start game one. So, you know, erase the drama at the top of this list.
So if Lewis is on the outside, then even with Jay Fair being injured, and granted, we saw a lot of 12 personnel, who is the number one slot guy? It's obvious to me the way you have this list, it's Jay Fair.
Yeah, and what they did on A-Day, so they, again, over the second half of A-Day, they ran a lot of 12 personnel. So in the lead up to A-Day, what they did in practice was they moved Jay Fair to the outside to get him reps, to get him on the field.
Right.
Right, because you're not evaluating him at the slot, or you know what he could do from the slot.
Right.
But if you're running 12 personnel and you want to get Jay Fair on the field, you know, that's why we didn't see him a ton over the last half of the season, was they were running a bunch of 12 personnel and he's a slot receiver.
Right.
If you're Jay, you're probably thinking, that's not going to work for me.
And do you think that's why a lot of people think that, especially if we continue with a lot of 12 personnel, do you think that could be an argument for why some people think Jay Fair could be entering the portal?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard a little bit of this, but, you know, ultimately, these guys sit down with the coach and talk about what the game plan is. I think what you saw was they were saying, look, we'll find a way to get you on the field.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll find a way to get you on the field. So we're going to let you work at outside receiver so that when we go into 12 personnel, there's still a role for you. Mm. And that's what happened over. There was no role for him over the last half of the season with all the 12 personnel they were running. But, you know, like I said, I think that Lewis has looked, I think that he has potential. He's got the quickness and I think that he looks good on the outside. I don't know that I like Jay Fair playing on the outside. So hopefully there's some version of this passing game where he gets to play from the slot and you see him, Robert Lewis, and Cam Coleman on the field at the same time.
Right.
But I don't think it's in Jay or Auburn's best interest to play him at the outside.
Okay. So going into fall, I don't know how big of a deal this is.
Okay.
This is what I'm looking at right here. By the way, I agree with you. I think I have you list for list in terms of 1 through 5. I'm looking forward to the 4 and 5 battle. Mm. Perry Thompson and Camden Brown probably, I mean, obviously Cam can be competing on one side, Perry on the other. But I'm curious to see how they look in terms of competing to get on the field. They're probably in that second rotation as far as the outside receivers. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, look. So the way this is slotted, this is how I see it, right? Cam Coleman's on the field. If he comes off the field, who's going on, right?
That's where the 4 and 5 battle comes into play for Camden and Perry Thompson.
Yeah, when Robert Lewis comes off the field, who's going on? Well, I think, honestly, I think Perry Thompson is good enough right now, even missing the spring, to probably work his way into that backup wideout spot. So I got him at 5. You got to have a slot receiver somewhere here in the top 5. And the most experienced slot receiver you have is Jay Fair. That's why he is where he is. So until further notice, you know, Jay Fair is going to be a top 5 because I assume that they'll send him out, that barring injury, they're going to send him out there first at the slot. You know, but if you're wearing 12 personnel, you need 4 guys. 2 on each side that can go out there and go make a play for you. Well, we see what Cam Coleman can do. throw it anywhere near him. That touchdown pass that Thorne made to Cam, that wasn't a great ball, but it was a hell of an adjustment and elite concentration. That was an elite catch. And if you're Auburn, you have not had that on the outside. So he's got to see the field. Can Perry Thompson be a guy that can go out and make that sort of catch on the outside? Well, the survey says yes, Caesar. He can be. Immediately. And you've had so little at that position that you got to give him a shot. This year, right now, to go out there and make a play. Cam Coleman comes off the field. Perry Thompson goes on. They think, oh, Cam came off. We're going to play up Perry Thompson for the touchdown. That's how Andy Burcham is going to call it.
Okay.
That's the call. You slept on us because Cam came off the field, but Perry can come in and he can make those types of plays. And, you know, honestly, like, I thought before the spring, like, Cam did some great work in the weight room, but Perry Thompson, man, like, when you walk up to this kid, I saw him outside the stadium before A-Day. As a matter of fact, I'm texting him right now. He said he's going to be on campus May 25th. Like, he's physically ready to play ball right now. Perry Thompson is a whole man. And he makes Auburn better immediately. Now, you know who else is a whole man? Camden Brown. He looks good on A-Day, right? Whether he can make it translate to Saturdays is going to be the question. So between Cam, Lewis, Brown, and Thompson, I think Auburn has a lot of talent there to work with.
The thing is with Cam Brown, and we got to get to the break. The thing with Cam Brown is I saw what Cam Brown and I saw what Jay Fair could do when you actually got the ball to them in the bowl game. Even though it was a small sample size with Hank Brown throwing the ball, I saw what Jay Fair could do in open field. He's pretty dangerous if he gets the ball in open field and he gets loose. Cam Brown didn't look as bad as people made him out to be once he got the ball in open field. Yeah. And that continued in the spring game for Cam Brown. So we can see some of the ability there with him. So I'm curious to see if he continues to build on that going into the summer, going into the fall, and how Perry Thompson factors into that. It's going to be pretty exciting to see, Mike.
Yeah, I think so. Look, man, Camden was having he had a great A-Day, I thought. He caught what was thrown at him. He made some moves. He got upfield, you know, and, we've seen the Cam Brown show that first year. You remember him high pointing the ball, a ball from Robbie Ashford against LSU 2 years ago. Yeah. That's the Cam Brown I think that fans were hyped about going into the offseason. Can that guy show back up? There were just weren't a ton of opportunities for them last year to catch the ball. As a matter of fact, Cam had more opportunities the year before with Robbie Ashford on a hurt shoulder. These guys didn't get a lot of opportunities to make plays last year. It just didn't. If you're Hugh Freeze, for the sake of the Freeze 4 that you brought in, you have to increase the targets that the wide receivers get. Because if you don't, if your starting quarterback is under 300 attempts for a second season straight, good luck holding on to these guys. You're going to have a hell of a time trying to convince these guys to come back and play in a system where they're just not getting targets.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's not just the new guys. You know, the incumbents had that issue too. I'm Cam Brown. I'm trying to get in a rhythm, and they never throw the ball at me. And then when they do, it's third and long. And I'm triple teamed. And then I don't make the catch. And then fans are roasting me for not making the catch.
Yeah,
you got to create more. You got to create more chaos for the defense on offense, right? Less third and longs, more third and manageables,
Tempo.
Right? And
then Tempo's going to play a part in this too, Mike. Tempo's going to play a big part in this offense because we saw how effective. Granted, it was against lesser competition in Vandy and Arkansas, but when this offense was using tempo, the offense looked better. There were opportunities for guys to make plays. But if you're getting three and outs and you can't even get into a rhythm offensively, again, the issues with wide receivers become downstream issues because you can't even get the ball to them. And then when you do get the ball to them, they're cold, passes get dropped. They're not even, and again, you've talked about it a lot, how LSU's receivers, they would drop passes with those receivers.
Malik Neighbors dropped a ton of balls.
They had so many opportunities that it overshadowed the drops that they had. Those guys just got to get some opportunities. So we'll talk more about that when we come back from the break. But you're watching the Midweek Report. Please share this video. Smash that like button. Subscribe if you're new to the channel. We're going to pay some bills. Come back, read some of your comments, and then we will discuss expectations for these guys when the season starts. All right, let's get into some of these comments. Corey Dubb says, I think only more. Coy Moore hits the portal. Barney Knight has Fairmore and Burton hitting the portal. That's major if we lose three receivers because we'll only be down seven scholarship receivers. Obviously, we expect Hugh Freeze to hit the portal to get more, but still, that's six receivers in which, what, only one returning receiver from the prior year?
I'm going ahead and kill because I think it was this message board where Jay Fair is not hitting the portal, guys. Like, so unless something changes between now and the season, and if it does, we'll know exactly what changed. But right now, there's no indication that Jay Fair is going to the portal.
B. Will's Forehead says, I hope Jay doesn't transfer for your health, Mikey. That's a good one, B. Will.
As long as Jay is doing whatever's best for Jay, my health will be just fine, right? But right now, I think that he's an Auburn Tiger and he's going to be one in the fall.
If anyone would know, you would know, Mike. So let's get to Auburn Dad for Life says Burton not going portal, but the others, yes. So he thinks Fair and Coy are going portal.
Yeah, man, brace yourself.
Barney Knight says Kane is also like a $150 when we were talking about him.
Man, probably Will's put some weight on, right? Like, you know, Cam Coleman put on, I thought, like 15 pounds of muscle so far this spring.
He looked amazing.
He looks in good shape.
Yeah. Ordan Eagle Chris Causey says or asks, y'all think Batty is leaving again? You got any intel on this, Mike?
I don't. I wasn't surprised to see him like hit the portal and then he came back.
I was surprised that he came back.
Yeah, maybe he tested the waters and saw, like, you know, again, more kids get lost in the portal than find homes.
Sure.
And you know, they're not obligated to take you back once you hit the portal. So if they took him back, that means that they felt like there was a role for him on this team coming up, and it's probably going to be on special teams. He's an extremely athletic kid, and, you know, he had a hell of a time down at USF on special teams. I think he can bring that same electricity to Auburn again in 2024, and so if he's willing to accept whatever role's there for him, then he'll be on this team. But like I said, it's unless you're willing to take a step back in terms of the level of program you're going to, it might be best for him to stay put at Auburn.
I wouldn't surprise me if he left. It really wouldn't, because I could see him going to a smaller school, Mike, just to be able to prove himself at running back. He wants to play running back, obviously, right? And I think that's why he left South Florida, because he was the man down there in terms of special teams, but he wants to prove himself Power Five level or somewhere else as a running back. So it wouldn't surprise me if he left again. I thought he was gone the first time. So Corey Dubb comes back and says Coy Moore is 10, Coleman's 1, the rest is debatable.
That's pretty accurate.
Because all this is subjective for sure.
Sure.
Largwin Taylor became a member. Welcome, good sir. Stephen Neely says Robert Lewis. He has Robert Lewis opposite Cam Coleman.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if those are your two wideouts to start the season.
I mean, they look like they were heads and shoulders the two best in spring in the A-Day game for sure. Yeah, My World of Sports says Robert Lewis when Perry is on the field. When Perry isn't, I can see Lewis out wide. I was told Cam, Robert Lewis, Burton ran with ones.
Yeah, like there's a lot of misinformation about like who's running with who, right? Like I said, it's the injuries had a lot to do with this spring was who ran where, right? So again, I would not read too much into the rotations other than Cam Coleman consistently running with the ones. But again, that's not a shock to anybody. They had to, you know, let other guys rest. And, you know, we talked about the guys who were injured at some point during the spring. And so it's next man up. You still got to run offense. You still got to run practice. So it doesn't mean that it will stay that way going into the fall.
Yeah, for sure. Mike, what are the expectations for these guys in terms of the passing game? Obviously, there's a big part of the passing attack that's out of their hands that they can't control. What are your expectations for these guys in terms of year two under a Hugh Freeze offense?
I think you got to start with Cam Coleman, right? Like, is this, can you make a 700 to 800 yard receiver out of Cam Coleman? He instantly makes your offense better. Like, think about that touchdown that he caught from Peyton Thorne. If Cam Coleman is out there doing that once a game, he's worth seven more points per game to your offense, potentially. That's crazy to think about. Think about it. Cam Coleman moves you from 28 points a game to 35 points a game, means you're going to win a couple games that you may not have won without him. Right? Cam Coleman is an absolute game changer. So I think you got to start with Cam Coleman. Outside of that, right, is there another guy who's dangerous enough that you can't just double up Cam, or that can burn you when people say, we're not going to let Cam Coleman beat us? Right. Who's that guy? Does it open things up over the middle for a guy like Jay Fair, right? And when those things are open, can they deliver the ball to those guys? Everybody needs to step their game up in 2024. Quarterbacks, receivers, coaches, and play calling, all of it has to get better in 2024. So you start with what you're asking them to do. What are we asking these kids to do? Are we asking them to do things that they're capable of? Or are we just saying, here, this is what we want you guys to do, regardless of what they're capable of, and saying, if you can't do it, you're terrible. I think that they're going to be able to put guys in better positions to make plays this year with more alignment on offense and a play calling scheme that is consistent with what this coach wants to execute. Look, Caesar, it'll either work or it won't. But history suggests, you know, that if Hugh Freeze does it his way, it will most certainly be better than what Auburn is accustomed to.
Yeah.
Now, whether that's good enough to win games or not, like, you know, again, right now, I still think that the ceiling is 7-5 for this team. But I think that you can move the needle forward in terms of the type of offense you want to run and still only win 7 games. Auburn's not the only team trying to get better. Everybody acts like everyone else is just sitting on their hands, not doing anything. Right? Guys are developing other places, right? Schemes are being developed other places. What is Auburn going to be able to do in 2024 to win more than 6 games? Well, hopefully you don't lose to your group of 5 team that you play. Right. A loss to New Mexico would be absolutely devastating.
In year two, for sure.
Oh, my goodness. You can't do that again, right? And then you've got 4 AP top 15 teams on your schedule. You have Bama beat. So it's not to say that it will be Bama again, but can you win the close game between one of those 4 AP top 15 teams? So who are those? You got Oklahoma, Georgia, Missouri, and Alabama all on the schedule. Which one of those will these receivers help you beat? Because look, man, Missouri is going to score points. Does Cam Coleman help you beat Missouri? Do you have enough firepower in that secondary to beat a team like Missouri next year? I think that's what people are going to be looking for. You're going to have to play keep up with a lot of these high-powered offenses.
Right.
So, you know, I think the expectation for these guys should be, you know, Cam Coleman, 700 to 800 yards year one. I think that you need at least another 500 to 600-yard receiver up behind him, and that's probably going to be close to 40% of your total production in the pass game.
You need a compliment to Cam Coleman.
You do.
You need to find a compliment. I think Robert Lewis is a reliable possession receiver. Maybe he's electric. Maybe we haven't got a chance to really see what he can do in open field. But you got some young talented guys. Like Bryce Kane could be that player who's electric. Malcolm Simmons can be that player. But because they're so young, Malcolm he's not even on campus yet. I'm looking at some of your older guys, maybe even a Robert Lewis or maybe even a Jay Fair to be those guys in open field who can spell Cam Coleman when teams are looking at him, those guys in the slot making some plays. So I'm curious to see who's the second guy in this wide receiver that this core that can step up. We've made a lot of much to do about who's the number one guy over the past several years because we've been thirsty for yards, Mike.
Yeah.
Like we haven't had much production to even worry about who's number two. You have a bona fide number one in Cam Coleman. I'm curious to see who steps up and is the number two receiver in this offense in 2024.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting. Again, when you look at the stats, right, when you look at the receiving stats from last year, and I'm pulling this up here, at the top half of the conference, Caesar, you had some monsters in the SEC, right? You had two of the best receivers in the country. As a matter of fact, between Luther Burden and Malik Nabers, I thought one of those should have won the Biletnikoff. How they gave it to Marvin Harrison Jr. over those guys, beyond me or whatever. But, you know, the leading receiver in the SEC last year had 89 receptions and 1,500 yards with 14 touchdowns to boot, right? Auburn on this list, right? The best receiver was, like, actual receiver, technically Rivaldo Fairweather in yards was Auburn's leading receiver. It's rough. Javaris Johnson, right?
Someone asked us about Javaris Johnson.
Yeah, 19.
Someone asked if he is still in the portal, by the way. I don't know if anyone has picked him up. I haven't seen. Where would he rank if he was here? He probably would be in the top five, Mike.
Yeah, I think it'd be battle between him and Jay for that slot, certainly, right?
Yeah. So
Javaris could play outside a little bit too. I mean, he was a very versatile receiver.
He wouldn't play outside this year.
Right. Like, Jay Fair was Auburn's leading receiver, right? In terms of in conference, in terms of receptions. And he had 31 receptions on the season.
You said Jay Fair or Javaris Johnson?
Jay Fair. Jay Fair, in terms of receptions, he had 31 receptions. Now, I think Javaris Johnson had more yards than he did, but, like, 31 receptions is not a lot. It's just not a lot,
it's not,
man.
A lot.
It's not a lot. And 324 yards, that's what I'm saying. You need Cam Coleman to be a 700 to 800-yard receiver, and then you need a guy who can come in behind him and produce 500 to 600 yards.
Mike, you're talking about a much-improved system. If you get that, a much improved, you're talking about a lot less dysfunction, and you're giving your running backs opportunities to work, man. If you're able to get that type of production out of your wide receiver room, you're giving your running backs a chance.
So Jay averaged 10.5 yards per catch. So, like, on average, every time he caught the ball, it was a first down, but the opportunities to catch the ball were not there.
Right.
They had a record low targets. So you've got to find a way to increase the targets for those guys, and you have to find a way to increase the pass attempts for your quarterback. Thorne's average is held. Dude, he's a low 60% passer. If you're only going to give him 266 attempts on a season, the numbers are going to be anemic unless he improves his completion percentage by nearly 10%.
Yeah.
And even then, it might be rough. So I don't. Like I said, I think that people really underestimate, like, how few opportunities these guys had. Auburn had a 61-39 run-to-pass ratio. They ran the ball 61% of the time and passed it 39% of the time. There just wasn't a ton of opportunities. Hugh Freeze said it. He would like to get that closer to 50-50. Ideally, 55-45 is works better for them. But giving those guys an extra 6% in terms of, you know, chances to catch the ball and throw the ball would be huge for this offense. You have to trust your quarterback and you have to trust your receiver.
Yeah.
To do it. Otherwise, they're going to take the air out of the football and just play not to lose games.
Yeah. We will definitely see. Again, we need to see an improved system to give these guys a chance, Mike, to get that type of production. We want some happy receivers after 2024 because they've got opportunities to show what they can do on the field. Let's grab some of you guys' comments. We got some super chats from Corey Dubb. He says, bigger question is, does Trey Donaldson come back? What type of NIL market is out there for a 7 point per game point guard?
Trey's gone. He's not coming back, Corey. Trey's gone.
That, to me, this one hurt. This one hurt worse because I actually anticipated Aiden Holloway hitting the portal. I'm going to be honest. When I started seeing Denver Jones getting some burn at point guard and bringing the ball up, I began to wonder this. Now, shortly after that, we start seeing Aiden Holloway start again. But I begin to worry and wonder, is this a sign that this kid may not be working out and he may be gone after this season? Go ahead, Mike.
The minutes. I think that the minutes, you know, when you are a star, you want to play more than like Bruce. He promised the greatest balance of minutes of any team he's ever coached in the preseason. He stayed true to his word on that. Now, is that good enough for you if you're Trey Donaldson or Aiden Holloway or Jahni Broome, right? Because he's playing with balance, but you're taking your stars off the court more often. And I think a lot of these guys, you know, while it's great if it works and you're winning championships, but after you get bounced in the first round, you may be sitting there thinking, God, he didn't pull me off the court. You know, maybe we win. You know, these guys have to see the vision that the coach, they have to buy into the vision that the coach has. And when it doesn't work out, they may look back on it and say, ah, I need to go play someplace where I see more eye to eye with how the coach wants to use my talent. So Bruce Pearl is a great coach. And this is something every school goes through, right? Where a talent doesn't agree with how the coach is doing certain things.
Stephen Neely says, assuming our offensive line has truly improved, can we project or expect more three wide sets, or is a Fairweather Micah Riley combo more dangerous?
Look, I would like to see more three wide receiver sets, but what I don't want to see is I don't want to see a bunch of 12 personnel where we're essentially in like max protect and you're not targeting the tight ends. There weren't a ton of targets for the tight ends at A-Day. So if that's if that is representative of what they're going to do in the fall, it's going to be a rough year.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing. We saw three wide receiver sets has been pretty standard in a Hugh Freeze offense. So if we're getting back to a Hugh Freeze offense, I do expect to see more three wide receiver sets. You could see some 12 personnel in the red zone with some of the things that we do there. But I'm expecting between the 20s, I want to see some three wide. Erica Ratney, appreciate that, by the way, Stephen. Erica Ratney asked, does improvement in the wide receiver room hurt the amount of attempts to Rivaldo? What are your thoughts on that?
Again, maybe not. As long does volume go, I think it's does volume go up is the question, right? If the volume goes up, then no, because there'll be plenty to go around for everybody to eat. But obviously, if it doesn't, you know, it's going to be tough. I think that Cam Coleman opens up your offense, though. I think the attention that he will draw from game one will net more opportunities for other guys to make plays because he's just that dangerous.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Any closing thoughts on the wide receiver room? Our projected top 10 portal. What are your thoughts on wide receiver, man, before we got out of
here? Oh, yeah. Before we get out of here, and I just want to pull this up again. This is where they stand, Caesar. Like, these are all the guys on scholarship that have a chance to return. Currently, right? Yeah. And so unless they go out and they get guys in the portal, this is your wide receiver room. I expect that at least two of these guys will be out of here. So, you know, stressing to our listeners, two of these guys are going to hit the – and they're going to have to go out and they're going to have to find some talent to come in, or they're going to have to promote some guys that, you know, are on this roster but technically aren't on scholarship. How does Hugh Freeze view it, right? Do you lean into, you know – the young guys that just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to just roll with these young guys and throw them in the fire year one and see what they can do for me. Right. And develop them as backups, you know, at wide receiver. Certainly that's a position where if you're young, you could, as long as you understand your assignments, you could probably play early there. Maybe not as physically demanding as some of the other positions on the field where you need time to develop physically. We'll see. But I think that Robert Lewis was a great addition.
Yeah.
You're going to hear a lot of things. And, you know, for our listeners, I can't stress enough. If it's not here at the War Report, it's fake news. We're the only ones reported this thing right, baby. So come to the War Report for all your wide receiver news. We know what's going on here. No, I'm joking. Sometimes we know. Sometimes, you know, yeah, we don't. But ultimately, I think that there's a balance in how and what you're hearing from message board fodder and Twitter rumors and all this stuff about what's going on. there are going to be some exits, and you should just go ahead and prepare for it. You know, there was a lot of rumors going around that there are some shocking portal transfers. I don't know how anything shocks anybody in this day and age.
Right.
With NIL and with, you know, some of the unrealistic expectations that players have, you know, nothing is really shocking. But I think the guys on the right side of this chart, right, like there are two of these guys that have a chance. This is your chance to step up and prove you can do it, or they're going to move on to the guys on the left pretty quickly. So if you're Jay Fair, you're Camden Brown primarily, now's your time to shine. I think they will get the first opportunity in these first few games to show what they can do, right? Alabama A&M, right? Like, you can't go out and drop balls versus New Mexico and Alabama A&M and Cal. Can't. Because if they do, they're going to look at the left side of this list and they're going to be like, this is why we went out and recruited those guys. But they'll get first right over, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. They'll get their shot. They will certainly get their shot to prove that they belong in this starting lineup. And if they can at least perform at a decent level for the first few games, you could hold serve going into SEC play. But if it doesn't look great, or if you're running wrong routes and you're costing and Peyton's throwing interceptions because you weren't where you were supposed to be, to the bench you shall go. And then they're going to go get these other guys to come in. And again, that's why they recruited them. Cam Coleman's going to be on the field. You know, Robert Lewis, I think, is going to be on the field. The rest of these guys, you know, they're going to be waiting in the wings for their opportunity if these guys, or if the incumbents, don't do well.
And you got to think about how this helps recruiting wide receivers in the future if Cam Coleman goes off.
Yeah, for sure.
So seeing these guys have that success is going to be very important at the wide receiver. This is an important year for the wide receiver.
Absolutely.